Welcome to EndoBattery Fast Charged, a series dedicated to keeping you informed and empowered in the realm of endometriosis. Teaming up with board-certified patient advocates, we bring you the latest articles, research, and insights to equip you with accurate information and a deeper understanding. Whether you're expanding your knowledge, staying updated, or seeking clarity, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Alana, and this is EndoBattery Fast Charged, charging and empowering your life with knowledge. Welcome back to EndoBattery Fast Charged. Thanks for joining me today. And before we get started, let me remind you that a lot of the names of these articles weren't really meant for a quick little description. They were often meant for just reading and to describe exactly what that study is. So they tend to be quite lengthy and sometimes a little hard to understand, but stick with me and I will do my absolute best to help you understand what articles we're going over, as well as let you know where you can find all the links in the description and which ones to further investigate for your own detective work. So without further ado, let's get started. Like I said before, these titles were not meant for anything other than to be a tongue twister, in my opinion. But here we go. The first study that we're going to look at is Attitudes, Perceptions of Affected Women Towards Endocrine Endometriosis Therapy, an international survey based on free word association networks. Whew, that was a lot. Let's step into the colorful world of women's perceptions surrounding hormone-based therapies for endometriosis. Picture researchers from around the globe, armed with curiosity and empathy, delving into the minds of those grappling with this perplexing condition. Through the whimsical tool of free word association networks, they set out on a quest to unravel the intricate web of emotions, fears, and aspirations woven into the fabric of endometriosis treatment. In this journey of discovery, it's not just about words. It's about peeling back the layers of complexity that shroud women's experiences in endometriosis. It's about capturing the essence of their hopes, fears, and dreams through a kaleidoscope of expressions. From whispers of uncertainty to rays of optimism, every association offers a glimpse into the inner world of those navigating the world of endocrine therapies. But this study isn't merely an academic exercise. It's a beacon of light illuminating the path towards compassionate care. By fostering dialogue between healthcare providers and patients, it creates a space for shared understanding and validation. It's about acknowledging the struggles, celebrating the triumphs, and crafting treatment approaches that resonate with the lived realities of those on this journey. In essence, it's a reminder of the power of empathy and the connection in navigating the intricate tapestry of women's healthcare. Are you ready to start some real controversy? In the publication titled, Robot-Assisted Laparoscopy Does Not Have a Demonstrable Advantages Over Conventional Laparoscopy in Endometriosis Surgery, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis, we can really cause some uproar. This study looked at the effectiveness of robot-assisted laparoscopy compared to the conventional laparoscopy in treating endometriosis. The researchers conducted a systematic review and meta-analysis, which means they gathered and analyzed data from multiple studies to draw broader conclusions. After reviewing the available evidence, the researchers found that there were no clear advantages to using robot-assisted laparoscopy over conventional laparoscopy for treating endometriosis. This suggests that despite the hype surrounding the robot-assisted surgery, it may not offer significant benefits in specific contexts. Factors such as surgical outcomes, complications, and recovery times were similar between the two approaches. The findings of this study may have implications for medical practices, as they suggest that healthcare providers may not need to invest in expensive robotic systems for endometriosis surgery if conventional laparoscopy yields comparable results. However, it's essential to note that this study has its limitations, including variations in study methodologies and potential biases in the data analyzed. Further research may be needed to confirm these findings and explore any nuances or specific patient populations for whom one approach may be more preferable over the other. I do want to note that this particular study did not really look at the effects of using either approach on the surgeon's physical ability to do the surgery long term. The next really interesting study that we're going to look at is called Endometriosis Stem Cells, Orchestrating Dynamic Regeneration of Endometrium and Their Implications in Diverse Endometrial Disorders. Let's get into this one. So, there's been some really interesting chatter going on about the role of these special cells called endometrial stem cells, or ESCs, and how they tie into the development and progression of endometriosis. Basically, these ESCs are like a repair crew for the lining of the uterus, known as endometrium. They're super important for keeping everything down there in good shape. Now, this study delves into how these ESCs go about their business of fixing and renewing the endometrium, which is critical for a healthy uterus. But here's the kicker. Endometriosis isn't just about a simple case of period blood flowing backwards into the belly and causing havoc. Nope. It's way more complex than that. Well, see, some might think retrograde menstruation is a piece of the puzzle. It can't explain everything about endometriosis. Plus, it turns out that the tissue causing all the trouble in endometriosis isn't exactly the same as the native endometrium. So it's not like your regular period lining is just flowing around where it shouldn't be and causing chaos. Instead, researchers are finding that the ESCs might be playing a bigger role than previously thought. They're digging into how these issues with these stem cells could be linked to various disorders related to the endometrium, like endometriosis. So it's not just about bleeding into your belly. It's about understanding how these special cells function and what happens when things go awry. This is a pretty fascinating study and deserves some room for further thought and discussion. Although it's not completely conclusive, it is a starting point and something to be mindful of. As if we haven't stirred up enough controversy, this next article is one that has people talking. The article, Emerging Bacterial Factors for Understanding Pathogenesis of Endometriosis. So we stumbled upon this article about the link between bacteria and endometriosis, and let me tell you, it wasn't exactly love at first sight. But hey, it does bring up some pretty interesting points about the whole microbiome and infection debate that's been swirling around since that endo has caused by infection piece a few months back. What caught my attention was this study's dive into how certain bacteria in the reproductive tract might be linked to the development of endometriosis. It's like they're peeling back the layers of this painful condition and trying to see if bacteria could be part of the puzzle. But here's the kicker. They're not just looking at it in isolation. They're diving into how these bacteria might be cozying up to our immune system and other body factors that stir up trouble. It's like a microscopic soap opera playing out in our bodies. These researchers are the detectives trying to solve the mystery. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for unraveling mysteries of endometriosis and finding new ways to tackle it. But let's not jump the gun just yet. Sure, understanding these bacterial factors could pave the way for groundbreaking treatments down the line. But we're not quite there yet. We need much more research and more evidence before we start making bold claims or changing clinical practices. So yeah, maybe we shouldn't brush off this whole bacteria endometriosis connection entirely, but let's approach it with a healthy dose of skepticism and an open mind, just like these researchers seem to be doing. After all, finding solutions to a complex medical issue like endometriosis often requires us navigating through shades of gray rather than sticking to black and white thinking. The irony of this next article is its title, because it is a run-on sentence that is bound to make you tongue-tied. But hey, at least they're descriptive. Now I bet you can't wait to hear this title. Well, get ready, here it is. The quality, sustainability, and readability of web-based resources on endometriosis-associated dyspnea, a systematic review. And there you have it. So you know that feeling when you're surfing the web for some information on health-related issues and you stumble upon a site that's like, hey, we've got answers, but it ends up feeling more like a comedy sketch than a reliable resource? Yeah, we've all been there. But fear not, because some heroic researchers decided to take on the task of sifting through this digital jungle to find out just how helpful those websites are when it comes to endometriosis-associated dyspnea, a fancy term for pain during the deed. Picture this, a team of brave souls armed with laptops and a passion for accuracy set out on a quest to evaluate the quality of online resources tackling this sensitive topic. They weren't just looking for any old website. They were after the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme of dyspnea discussions. Their journey led them to analyze these sites with scrutiny of a detective solving a mystery. They checked for accuracy, making sure the information wasn't a wild goose chase, suitability, was next on the checklist because, let's face it, not everyone's up for reading a medical textbook just to understand why things aren't going smoothly in the bedroom. And last but not least, they delve into the readability, assuring that the content wasn't written in some obscure language only decipherable by an Illuminati. Lo and behold, their findings revealed a mix of the good, the bad, and the downright laughable. Some sites were like a breath of fresh air, informative, empathetic, and easy to digest, like a slice of grandma's homemade apple pie. Others, well, let's just say they were about as helpful as trying to fix a flat tire with a toothpick. But fear not, dear readers, for this tale doesn't end in despair. Armed with findings, these valiant researchers are on a mission to champion better online resources. Because when it comes to a sensitive topic like dyspareunia, everyone deserves a reliable guide, not just a wild goose chase through the World Wide Web. So here's to the future, where seeking help online isn't a wild game of chance, but a journey paved in reliable information and understanding. This next article highlights that we need to talk about a topic in a more clear and concise way that can often be very triggering. This next article is titled, "The Impact of Endometriosis on Pregnancy." While this study is really hard to talk about at times, I do find it very important that we understand just how endometriosis affects pregnancy. This research focuses on how endometriosis affects women's ability to get pregnant and carry a baby. It helps doctors understand if and how endometriosis might make it harder for women to get pregnant or to have a successful pregnancy. This knowledge can guide treatment decisions for women with endometriosis who want to have children. The most impactful part of this research is when they state, "The development and pathogenesis of endometriosis is an important field of study and has not yet been fully elucidated." This brings further discussion to the table and can change the dialogue that endometriosis is not just killer cramps. It's shifting our discussion to the harmful impact endometriosis has on pregnancy and fertility, which although can be hard, it's not talked about enough. So here's to this article, bringing this to light, allowing this discussion to happen, and to shift the narrative behind endometriosis just being a painful period or all about periods. I want to shift gears a little bit. This next article isn't of research and it's not of a study. It's a reflection of many of our stories. This story with the title of "Women with Debilitating Chronic Pain Waits Decades for Endometriosis Diagnosis." It talks about a woman who has been suffering with severe and long-lasting pain for many years without knowing the cause. She struggled with daily activities and her quality of life was greatly affected. Finally, after decades of enduring this pain, she was diagnosed with endometriosis. The diagnosis brought relief as it explained the source of her suffering and allowed her to seek appropriate treatment. This story highlights the challenges many women face in getting an accurate diagnosis for conditions like endometriosis, which can significantly impact their lives. You know, reading stories like this one detailed in this article really hits home for me. It's heartbreaking to hear about someone enduring such severe prolonged pain only to find and receive a diagnosis after decades of suffering. It's a stark reminder of the often overlooked struggles that many women face when it comes to their health. The fact that this woman had to endure daily activities being challenged, her quality of life severely impacted, all because of conditions like endometriosis, is truly gut-wrenching and all too familiar. What strikes me most is the sense of relief that must have flooded upon her finally receiving that diagnosis, to have an explanation, a name for the source of her suffering after years of uncertainty and doubt, must have been like an immense weight lifted off her shoulders. It's a poignant reminder of the importance of proper medical attention and the dire need for increased awareness and understanding of conditions like endometriosis. Yet stories like these also serve as a glaring indictment of our healthcare systems, not just in Canada, but globally. The fact that it took so long for this woman to receive care and attention she deserved is a testament to its shortcomings and challenges within our medical infrastructure. It's a reminder of the urgent need for improved education, advocacy, and resources for women's health issues, ensuring that no one has to endure unnecessary suffering due to the lack of awareness or access to proper care. In the face of such adversity, it's inspiring to see individuals like this woman bravely sharing their stories. Their courage in speaking out not only raises awareness, but also serves as a beacon of hope for others who may silently be struggling with similar challenges. It's a reminder that even in the darkest moments, there is strength in solidarity and potential for positive change. And while there's still much work to be done, stories like these remind us of the importance of empathy, understanding, and the relentless pursuit of better health care for all. Thank you for joining me this week. And until next time, continue advocating for you and for those that you love.